Let us then turn in God's Word to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we'll begin reading at verse 31 and read through the end of the chapter this morning as we continue our study of Romans. We are reminded of the question, what can separate us from the love of God? And we have that awesome answer that is no created thing. And that even that which would be our judge has become our advocate before the Father. So Romans chapter 8, beginning reading at verse 31 and reading through verse 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or dark distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thus far, the reading of God's Word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's Word this morning, we ask the question, what is going to separate us from the love of Christ? What is going to separate us from the love of God? And the answer is nothing. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing that is going to separate us from his love. Is there anything created? No. But what about God? God is angry because of my sin, right? But brothers and sisters, that is the wonderful, the awesome thing that God says to us. That God, who would be our condemner, he would be our judge, that he has justified us. That's what we read in verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. God has justified sinners by offering his Son in our place for individual actual sins that we have committed. The tally was brought over and laid on our Savior, the tally of our sins. And his righteousness was imputed to us, was placed on our account. And so, brothers and sisters, what about all of these things of which we're scared? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, death nor angels nor life nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In all these things we are what? More than conquerors. More than conquerors. In the midst of trials, in the midst of distress, of persecution, of famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. When we stand firmly upon the Word of God, we don't need to fear these things. That is the awesome fact. Death doesn't separate us. Nothing that a human being can do can separate us. Nothing that the devil can do. Who shall separate us? Notice that question. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. In fact, in these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And so, brothers and sisters, as we live within this world, no matter what comes. Persecution, trial, nakedness, peril, the sword. Our hope is in Christ Jesus, and our confidence is in Christ Jesus, that nothing will separate us. We have as our theme this morning, the glory of believers' salvation is in comfort in Christ against anything in this world. Our comfort is in Christ, and that is our glory. Not in ourselves, not in our righteousness, but in Christ. And that is not against, well, most things. The hard things, well, we can't handle those. No. We can handle anything. Jesus says, what's the worst that anyone can do to you in this world? They can kill you. They can kill your body. Don't fear that, Jesus said. Fear God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And so, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And as we look at this passage in verses 31 through 34, we see that we are redeemed by God, our accuser. In verses 35 through 39, we see that we are inseparable from the love of Christ. So first of all, we are redeemed by God, who would be our accuser. God is for us. And that's the thing that starts, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us if God is for us? That He delivered Christ for us. He paid our penalty. He paid the wages of sin, which is death. That's Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He paid our penalty. That God so loved us in this manner, in His mercy, of course, hearkening to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is perfectly true. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God has given His Son on our behalf. And with Him, He freely gives us all things. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now I find it interesting how people have a lot of mistrust in God. If we believe on Him, we read in verse 28 previous that God is working out all things for our good and for His glory. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Yet people say, you got to be careful what you wish for. Like God's going to give them something bad if they ask something wrong. James 1 tells us that even if God gives us hard times, therefore our benefits. Verses 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so our salvation is accomplished perfectly in God, in Jesus Christ. We are justified by God. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Now this is very interesting. What is the idea of Romans in the first three chapters? It's God's legal case against us, isn't it? Romans 1 through 3, starting in verses 1, 18 through 23 is a sample. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal and power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their hearts, or in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and corrupted, or changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Although they knew God, God says, that there is in the back of every human being's knowledge built into us, a knowledge that there is God, and yet man fights against Him. Though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. And Paul concludes there in Romans chapter 3, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. And by the way, these are all quotes from the Old Testament. And we can read, continuing there. And so, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? This is the exact opposite of what we expect from the first three chapters of Romans. Because the charge is, we're all guilty. I'm guilty. You're guilty. We deserve hell. But brothers and sisters, that is the beauty of the gospel. Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Who shall bring a charge? Is Christ going to bring a charge against God's people? No, He paid for us. Who was our accuser? Christ, who would have been our accuser, becomes our advocate. Psalm 2:12. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in Him. We can have that confidence. We can have that hope in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:22 through 24, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It is God who justifies. Who is He who condemned? It is Christ who has died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. We've talked about this as we looked at our catechism this morning, that Jesus makes intercession with the Father on our behalf, claiming His righteousness, and He intercedes perfectly, being true man and true God. But as we said, Paul repeats himself there because we need to be reminded, Christ, our accuser, is He who makes intercession for us before the Father. That our accuser has become our intercessor. That He has become Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. And so, brothers and sisters, we are inseparable from the love of Christ. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. As we said, it starts with who? Not just what. We don't need to worry about inanimate objects. We don't need to worry about the devil or some other principality or power. Consider Job. How that worked out. Did the devil come to God and say, hey, I want to take over Job's life and make it a problem? No. Quite the opposite. God says to the devil, have you considered my servant Job? When we're in trials, it doesn't mean that God hates us. In fact, the writer of the Hebrews says that if we endure trials, if we endure correction, God is treating us as sons, as children. Otherwise, if we do not endure correction, He is treating us as illegitimate. And so, what's going to separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, death? These things are not greater or more powerful than God. They are His creations. Yes, even death as the final punishment for our sins. They're all consequences for our sins, but they are there to point us to Christ, the only Savior. We live in a world that is full of trials, is full of trouble. And brothers and sisters, we need to know that all of these things come out of our sins and the consequences for our sins. brothers and sisters, even those consequences for our sins as Christians are no longer a judgment on our sin, but they are to point us forward to eternal life and eternal glory, so that as we struggle and as we are tried within this world and as we fight and say, "Why, Lord, does this go this way?" we can know that God is working all of these things together for our salvation, for our eternal joy. 1 Peter 3:14, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." We don't need to be afraid of these things. We live in a world that's afraid of our shadow. And God says, "Don't fear. Don't worry about it. Indeed, we who should be conquerors are more than conquerors through Him who would have been our enemy." I think we need to realize and savor that for a second. That Christ is our enemy initially because of our sins. That He is the judge. "Kiss the Son lest He be angry and you perish in a moment." That Christ will be that final judge on that final day, the white throne judgment as we talk about it in the book of Revelation. But brothers and sisters, that white throne of judgment has become to us not a day of fear and terror, but the day in which we get to meet our beloved Savior and see Him face to face and rejoice in the beginning of the glory of eternity which we have in Jesus Christ, in what He has done. And so, we are more than conquerors in death. We are more than conquerors in persecution and in trials and in famine or nakedness or peril or sword. These things do not conquer us as Christians, but they have been conquered in Jesus Christ. John says, John 16:33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We don't need to fear the world. We don't need to tremble. We need to stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ, that these things have been conquered. Galatians 2 verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Two things to note there. Well, one of the things that's going to cause me trouble is me, because I'm rotten. I know. Guess what? I have been bought. We have been bought with a price. The blood of Christ. The life that I live by faith in the Son of God. And so no created thing shall separate us from the love of God. Again, Paul gives to us a list. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, nor any other created thing. These are major fears for people. Death, continued life sometimes when life is hard. Angels, principality, fallen angels essentially. Powers. What about things present? It's going rotten in Washington. What about the future? I don't know what's going to happen. Height, depths. What's going to separate us from the love of Christ? No created thing. These are all created. They're all under the power of God, is what Paul is reminding us here. They are servants to God. They do His purpose. They do not move, Jesus says, without the will of our Father in heaven. So do we need to fear height, depth, principalities, powers, angels, death, life? We can have confidence with all of these things. And brothers and sisters, even if we die the most horrible death that we can imagine, and there are Christians who are doing it even as we speak, in these things we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. I forget who it was, one of the early church fathers said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And brothers and sisters, we need to realize too often when it's easy, we get soft. But those who see every day and have to stand up to the fact that this world is not the friend to Christians, they're the ones that are strong. And we need to see in the scriptures what God says, that these things don't separate us. They make us hold on the tighter. And God holds on to us through them because we can't hold ourselves to God. And so no matter what our tribulation, no matter what our trial, we're not to say, Lord, I wish you would just take this all away from me. But instead we can say, Lord, teach me in this that which you have for me, that we may be fitted the more for eternal joy and eternal life. And so, brothers and sisters, trials are not something to fear and run away from. Rather, they are something that in which we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Christ has conquered this world. And so our judge, who would be he who condemns us, is our Savior. So we can look forward to that day of judgment with hope and with joy. Our comfort is in Christ. And so that nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. Amen. Let us bow before our God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice that we can come before your holy presence in thanksgiving and in praise. That even as we have now in this world the beginnings of eternal joy, and even as we take this morning to bow before your throne and worship, we look forward to the day in which we shall have sweet and perfect communion with you in eternity. And we pray, O Lord, that as we live within this world, we would not fear man, that we would not fear judgment, and that we would look forward to that day. And know that as we live in a world which is trials and which is temptations and which is a vale of crying, a valley of tears, yet, Lord, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so no matter what happens, no matter the trial which you send upon us, you will turn it to our good, because you are able to do it, being Almighty God and willing also, being a faithful Father. And so, O Lord, we pray that you would give us your perspective on the trials and the temptations and the fears and the dangers of this world, that we might look forward in the midst of them, not to just a good, clear day here on this earth, but to that which is beyond our imagination, beyond the best thing which we have ever experienced on this world. We praise you, Lord, for the new heavens and the new earth which you give to us in Christ Jesus, which are ours, you say, in what you have done in him. We pray this through Jesus Christ, he who purchased these things for us. And we pray as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.